You're listening to Pokey Men's Health. I'm your host, Roy Flash Gordon, and we are back here with another interview with one of the homies from the Discord and someone who's really helped me learn a lot about the game during my time playing, and that is my guy Matt, aka Fridge. Before we get into that interview, I just want to remind you that right now, happening right now, is my 12 days of Christmas 12-hour streaming challenge, or sorry, 12-day streaming challenge, where I built up to 12 hours on the 12th day, but I started on day one with 1 hour. Doing this for the benefit of Black Men Heal, trying to raise $500. So far, have raised $125, so still looking for those donations. Doing this through Christmas Eve, and would be really excited to see some of you on the stream. So again, you could come by at any time, donate, hang out, or otherwise support the growth of men, even just by following this podcast. So without further ado, let's hop on into my interview with Fridge.
And Pokey Men's Health audience, we are here with another good friend of mine, Fridge, aka Matt. And Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me on here. It's good to hear from you. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing real good, man. Real good. You've heard me complain multiple times on stream about being sick in this last like week and a half, and I'm doing a lot better than I was. So I'm grateful for that.
Yeah. Glad to hear you've been doing a little bit better. That's always sucked being sick.
Yeah, it's rough, man. So we'll get into it. Just some of the basics. Can you tell the audience how old you are? What do you do, and where you're from?
Sure. So I'm from Minnesota. And I'm 32 years old, and I run machines at a printing company. And as far as hobbies go, it's pretty much just video games most of the time. I don't really do too much outside of work.
Yeah, that sounds cool, man. Sounds good. Let's talk about Pokemon. Like, how did you get into it? And tell the people a little bit about how you engage in the community currently.
Sure. So I actually got into it as a young kid playing the original red, blue, yellow versions.
Boom.
And never really realized there was any sort of a competitive scene to it until I was quite a bit older. And that would have probably been, I knew it existed probably around X and Y, but I never really paid any attention to anything until like Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon. And that's when I kind of started getting involved in, I guess, paying attention to the VGC community a little bit, but not really playing myself. And then pretty much tried to start playing more so in Sword and Shield, but I really despised the Dynamax and Gigantamax stuff. And just kind of, my interest kind of died off in those after like two seasons or two regulations. And then when Sun and Moon came out, the Dynamax, Gigantamax went away. They replaced it, obviously, with Terrestrialization, and I do enjoy that mechanic quite a bit more. So now I've been going to a couple of regionals and local events and just participating in the VGC stuff there.
That's what's up, man. Obviously, someone who's helped me a lot and I really respect a lot. So I'm always interested in like that perspective around Dynamax. I've heard a little bit about it and why it was like not super fun for a lot of people. What did you have around it that you really weren't liking?
So, mind you, at the time, I was just getting into it a little bit more as far as playing goes myself. So I was learning at the time, and it's just something that I didn't fully grasp, perhaps, when it was best to use, what it was best to use it on. I was still kind of learning. I feel like I used it very poorly, and I just got outclassed by everyone that knew what they were doing already, and it just made it a lot more unfun for me, I guess, because I just got wrecked a lot. I think was more than anything what it was, but I think Dynamax just made it harder for me because it was just this whole new mechanic that I just had to also learn on top of it also.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense to me, man. Like when you're starting to get it, and me being someone who just got in with Scarlet Violet, like, you know, seriously, you know, considering competitive stuff and doing regionals and whatnot, I will say that this idea of just changing your type is really straightforward. And like Dynamax, I could see a lot of ways that just was not totally.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason that I've kind of grasped onto the terrestrialization a lot more too. It's very basic, straightforward. Especially now they've got open team sheets and stuff, so you know what the opponent has, you know what you're bringing to the table as far as terrestrializations go. So you can kind of, I mean, it's still a big mind game, but you can kind of know what you're getting into going into the match.
Yeah, I think that, like, thinking about a tournament format, it what's crazy to me, it's like how open team sheets, like, it feels like it helps players who are new actually have an opportunity to improve and get good and notice patterns. Like, just having something in front of you that simply is really helpful. But also how it, like, made folks who were fine, historically in best of threes without anything like that, not knowing their opponents had, having to get information through games and whatnot. And of course that just went and just made them better, possibly. You know what I'm saying? It's an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think overall the open team sheet idea, it really kind of helped everyone. I think it definitely got a lot more people that were not as experienced into it, because I think for myself, one of my biggest things, and I thought terrestrialization, or when they introduced terrestrialization, did all this open team sheet stuff, I was like, this isn't going to work. I kind of liked the idea of that first game, you kind of using it as a research game. Obviously you're trying to win, but like you're trying to write down, keep track of your opponent's move sets and all that stuff. And I was really kind of bothered when I first heard they were going to do open team sheets. I was like, well, that just takes away part of that. But it just added a whole different aspect. And I actually don't want them to take away open team sheets now. I think it's actually a lot. I think it's a lot more enjoyable. And I think it's also opened the gates for a lot of people that were otherwise not involved
Yeah.
in the competitive scene to get more involved.
Totally. I think it definitely did that. I think accessibility through, of course, base gameplay, being able to build teams faster and more efficiently and whatnot, has really opened up the gates a lot too. And yeah, I can't imagine playing without team sheets. It definitely feels like I do think that without them, like, reverting to not that skill would be any less, but there's a, like, I don't know, there's a different skill set, I guess, when you don't have the team sheet. And having the team sheet just, I think, feels like it allows for a lot smarter play. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it allows for more planning.
Yeah.
Instead of going into that first game, like I said, kind of trying to pay attention to stuff and take notes of move sets and all of that, you can kind of pay more attention to how your opponent uses their move sets and kind of try and keep track of that for how you're going to plan for your, series at that point.
Awesome, man. You're a genius at this game. I want you to know. Like, in case you, for the days that you're not feeling like it, I think you really have this like super figured out, and glad I got you, man. All right,
I
so
like to think I got things figured out, but I sometimes think I'm just pretending.
quit playing, man. We always get plenty to learn, but you got a great base level of knowledge. That's you're one of the best players I know for sure.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Second topic, or second question rather, moving on to kind of this idea of, like, promoting healthy masculinity that the podcast is really about, as well as, helping remove stigma around mental health for guys. Just, like, in your experience, what's you've been kind of picked up through life, what do you think a man is, quote unquote, supposed to be?
It's kind of a loaded question actually, because there's a lot of different ways it can be interpreted.
Yeah.
And I think it goes back a lot based on how someone is raised. And in my case, I was lucky that my dad was always kind of there as someone to look up to. And I guess from my perspective, I a lot of what I feel about it, I kind of got from him. And when you're talking about this, I suppose it's kind of like what a man is supposed to be. I think stereotypically you hear things like somewhat of a leader, or to some extent somewhat of a leader anyways, and then someone that can just step up and be there for their families and friends, and just kind of, I guess, try to be someone that they can look up to in a way, I guess. I don't know. I mean, it's kind of, there's a lot that you could say, I guess, but
Yeah, just curious around like in your experience, and I do think that is a very like powerful like perspective like around I guess manhood that can really say for any person like to have that ability to I think not just lead, but I think there's something around like kind of inspire people to I don't know. Maybe not necessarily be their best selves. Like it's not necessarily that kind of energy, but it, a lot of ways, like I do think there is, like I think men can often be looked to like, and not just like just in general in society, because everyone can be, but like if you're part of a family unit, for example, like are looked to for leadership, or inspiration, and not the leadership itself, but like an inspiration to move, to do something, to challenge themselves, et cetera.
yeah, and I don't know, maybe leadership maybe wasn't necessarily the appropriate, like the best word to use there, I should say, but like I couldn't really think of the right word, so I just said, someone that, your family might look up to
Yeah, I think it's a great
or
one, man.
whatever.
I think that's a great way to put it. What or rather, have you ever had any like moments where you didn't feel like, either based on like the definition you might hold for yourself or like expectations someone else may have been putting on you? Have you ever had any moments where you didn't feel like you were living up to like the standard of, again, quote unquote, real man? And I like to put the quotes out there just to be like, I feel like there's so much flexibility with that. I don't
Yeah,
really
it
like
is. It
outside
is
of like,
flexible.
yeah, outside of asking the question, like I don't really have like real man in my vocabulary because I don't like, what does that even mean? But I feel like a lot of us like have been made to grapple with that idea, even if we didn't want to, just because of how society can kind of put expectations on us. So, again, the question. Like, have you ever felt like you didn't live up to a certain standard around, what it was to be a man?
I think it could probably, I'm sure probably a lot of people have at some point in their lives. And to be honest, I've been pretty lucky in my life when in regards to this sort of a thing. I don't personally, I'm not married, I don't have kids, so I don't have that anything any stories on anything like that where I've been a bad father or husband or anything like that. I've certainly had just some, I guess in the past, some maybe bad relationships or you get in bad fights or something like that with a significant other and you maybe feel bad about it afterward. I would say that's probably the most common thing that would probably be putting me in that sort of a situation, I guess, or in that sort of a mindset.
Like, was it like you didn't feel like you were living up to being the kind of man you wanted to be, due to the treatment of them or like your behavior that led up to the fight? Like what, in what ways?
I don't think I've ever mistreated a significant other. I certainly haven't meant to, if that's the case,
Yeah, totally.
but I think there's situations where you're just not necessarily on the same page about something. Some big fight starts. They, even if it could be as petty as just saying, you're being a prick or whatever, just kind of like it's petty name calling type of thing. It can be as simple as that. And then after it all settles down, you're like, oh, maybe that was a little bit, petty or stupid of me, but
Got it. Like kind of like a maturity thing.
yeah, immaturity, yeah.
Got you, man. That makes sense. That makes sense. And definitely like, I feel like we've all, said some things that we might regret or might want back. And I think it's the reflection that you have after that that, is going to determine whether or not, like, hey, if in the heat of the moment, like, am I going to act in a way that I don't want to act in the future? And I think those are the opportunities that we have to, like, really grow and keep being the people that we actually want to be, as opposed to, in those moments where, anger's gotten us or, sadness is, a lot of times when we're fighting, it's sadness that's like
Yeah.
even driving us, having hurt feelings, like am I going to be my best self in those hurt feelings or am I going to be, someone I don't necessarily like to be in those hurt feelings? And I think that's growth, like, recognizing those and taking that forward, that expectations of yourself or who you want to be forward and that informing, how you're going to act in the situation next time.
Yeah, and I think being able to look back and reflect on situations, I think it's helped me a lot. As I think as I've gotten older, I've gotten a lot better at managing my emotions and stuff like that, whereas I used to get a lot more as a kid, especially. I got very angry at stupid stuff, and I don't know. Now I'm very calm, laid back, just kind of enjoying life type of person, you know? So I think just being able to sit and reflect on stuff has helped me just kind of keep calm in moments where I maybe would not have been 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I was curious, like, what do you think has like helped you kind of move down that path of being able to slow down and stay calm in situations that in the past would have kind of maybe set you off?
Yeah, I think I think I just take a second to look at the big picture a lot more nowadays. It's very easy to allow yourself to get into a certain mindset when something happens, and a lot of times it just turns out to be something that you have little to no control over. And I just tell myself there's not really much point getting, you know, mad or upset or whatever about this. It's, you know, just it's not going to do me any good. I'm in this situation now. I just got to try to, you know, move out of this situation. Getting mad's just going to make it worse, or getting upset about it will just make it worse.
It's good perspective, man. It's good perspective. I wanted to also ask, like, and now it's kind of along the lines of just kind of your general like mental health or emotional health state. Have you ever had like any specific challenges or even something that may be current or recent that you've had to overcome?
Well, I've been very fortunate in life when it comes to my mental health. I think I've always had a pretty positive outlook on life. I've always been, for the most part, pretty easy to get along with, pretty happy person. So I am very fortunate in that. Certainly I do have days, you know, here or there where you're just maybe a little bit bummed about something or, you know, something of that sort. But yeah, I am very fortunate to be able to say that I don't usually have issues with my mental health getting in the way of anything.
That's good, man. That's awesome. So we mentioned, a little Pokemon, and I'd love to like kind of bridge these topics, and it's like, Pokemon clearly has probably brought a lot of happiness into the lives of a lot of the guys that I talked to on this podcast. And I was curious, like, how might you say Pokemon has really contributed to your happiness?
Yeah, it was one of my favorite games as a child. I still remember like making friends in elementary school just over Pokemon cards or the games and talking about our favorite Pokemon. And it's not, I don't really have that close friend group anymore these days. I've kind of after high school and you know people went away for college and then you just kind of lose touch with a lot of people. So unfortunately, a lot of them I don't really talk too much anymore, but I do remember just having a lot of fun times just talking Pokemon with friends as kids. And of course, now that I'm older, I'm going to these VGC tournaments, I'm meeting people and just having fun getting to know some people and playing games against these people or you know, doing raids with people and just, you know, it's actually like surprise. You wouldn't think it when you're just saying you're going to a tournament or whatever. I think a lot of people don't necessarily think it that way, but I think it's a very open and welcoming community, and I think a lot of people just get along with pretty much everyone pretty well there.
Absolutely, dude. I think that's I super cool that it's like back in the day. Like it really helped me like make friends and connect with people, and then, like still today, sorry, clear in the throat, sorry. Like today, it's like may not be the same people that it was back then, and it may not be in the same way, but like we got the Discord, we got the stream, and we're like staying connected. We, I mean, we met at a tournament, like
Yeah,
just having a
we were in
conversation.
Milwaukee.
Yeah, exactly. Like just having that that time of connection with people, and I mean, I figured there'd be some of that, but it's like been kind of mind blowing that it's just like actually it's a lot of that. It's almost all that. We play the game and we like become friends. It's just how it goes. It's super fun.
Yeah, and it's nice that everyone there always has, you know, a similar interest. You know, if you're going out to someplace in public and it's not related to a tournament, you don't know what people like, you know, you don't know what types of topics they might like to talk about or what they do in their free time, but you're going there and you have that like actual connection with everyone that we all love this game. So I think it's very easy to start conversations and start actually like talking to people at these places.
So cool. So cool. Well, that was pretty much it. I think like to wrap up the podcast with two questions. One is, what are you most excited about next coming up in the Pokemon world? And then the second one is, if you wanted to say any words of support to a man that might just be out there struggling, what might you say to that man?
Sure. So in regards to your first question, things I'm looking forward to. I'll be in San Antonio next weekend, so that's definitely something I'm looking forward to, and then Charlotte as well in January. So I think both of those things are very exciting, and Charlotte especially, which will be new rule set, so that'll be very interesting to see how all that plays out. And of course the DLC coming up later this week, so or this next week. So I think those are all really, really fun things to look forward to. Yeah, hopefully they all go pretty well.
Yeah, dude, you're gonna kill it. I'm super pumped to get the updates, and I'm available even like tonight or tomorrow to run some of those practice showdown games if you need to, bro.
Sure.
Yeah, awesome, and I'm excited to see you in Charlotte as well.
Yeah, dude, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Finally, any words of support you might send out to a guy who's having any hard times out there?
Sure. I would say try your best to keep your chin up. Try and keep putting one foot in front of the other, moving forward. Things suck sometimes, but I try to think that things get bad so that they can get better, and you'll come out of the other side stronger and a much happier person in the end for it. Might look back at it one day and say it might have been the best thing that ever happened to you. It set you on a different path that you love so much more. So, if you just keep pushing through, you never know where you're gonna be, a day or a week or 10 years from now. But you gotta try and keep thinking it might be in a better spot.
Dude, it was one of my favorite little wisdom drops at the end. Things get bad so they can get better. And I can definitely think of a lot of times in my life where something that seemed really bad ended up being something that really put me on track for something that was a lot better. So super great advice, man. I really appreciate getting to have this conversation with you, man. It's funny, we talk a good deal, and you probably hear my voice like 10 times as much as I've ever heard your voice. So I really appreciate you being around and getting to hear your voice again, dude.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me on. Thanks.
Of course. Have a great one, Fridge.
You as well.
And that is a wrap for another one. Thanks for listening. That interview with Fridge was, again, a special one because Fridge was one of the first guys I met in the community, first guys that hopped on my stream when I first started. This is always going to be a special gentleman in my heart. So, if you're anything like me, you got a lot of DLC to play. So, I'm going to hop off of here, get back to the stream. I think today's the 7 hour day. I'm really having a really fun time, and I'm also seeing why it is a challenge. So, I'm going to get back over there. Looking forward to next week, a Christmas episode dedicated to the idea of friendship and community during these holiday times. So, look forward to being with you then. Take care till next time.